Round two of the Suncorp Super Netball season gave us a massive blowout victory from the Vixens and an absolute thriller between the Swifts and the Fever. We are back to discuss all the Suncorp Super Netball news, and we will be joined by a very special guest. Hello and welcome to the Centre Pass podcast brought to you by Netball Draft Central. My name is Jared Gardner, and as always, I'm joined by Taylor Malky and Sophie Taylor. A massive round two of Suncorp Super Netball, a couple of close results, and Taylor, a big blowout by the Vixens, 28 points in the end, a really impressive performance.
Yeah, it was a really convincing performance by the Vixens. I think it kind of showed just how damaging they can be when everything clicks into gear, and just how crucial the two-point shot for the Vixens is going to be, because all three of their shooters can shoot from range and pretty much put any team to bed within an instant. So I definitely think the Vixens announced themselves as finals contenders in this match.
And Sophie, well, round two has just finished. We're getting ready for round three to begin straight away. A couple of teams having to back up on very short breaks. How do you think teams are going to go with their recovery?
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting one. I'm really looking forward to seeing how teams back up, because as we've seen with the ANZ this season, with all bar one or two teams a week playing two games, usually they're actually able to back up really well. It's just about the recovery in the middle. So I'm looking forward to seeing how teams go. I mean, we've got some really tight matchups where teams only lost by a few goals during the week, during the weekend, and are coming into games this week. So I'm really intrigued to see how it goes. And I mean, regular netballers play multiple times a week, so why can't the elites too?
Yeah, exactly. And they've got all the coaches, all the recovery. They can do everything they want. They've got all the facilities. So hopefully they'll be okay in round three. The first game of round two of the Suncorp Super Netball season was the Thunderbirds up against the Giants, and it was the Thunderbirds able to get the win by 8 points here. A really kind of topsy-turvy affair. It was really the second quarter where it was won for the Thunderbirds, but a really impressive performance to get their first win of the season, Taylor.
Yeah, I was so impressed with the Thunderbirds. I had them highly touted, saying that I think that they'll be definitely a team that's improved a lot this season. And I think round one, they were a little bit shaky, but this round you could tell that their connections were really on song. And I think I speak for all of us that we were super excited to see Georgie Horges come out on court after we had a chat with her earlier in the week, and she just dominated from the get-go. And I think that that type of confidence and time out on court is invaluable for young players, and it really, her energy sparked that entire team. And then you look down in defence, and the Adelaide Thunderbirds really came out with an intensity. In round one, I thought that Shamira Sterling was a little bit off the pace, but you could tell that this round she was more focused and she was intent on winning ball back. And that connection with Kate Shimmin was just unstoppable. The two in the air are just ridiculous and are going to cause a lot of trouble for teams in the future, just because they are so impressive in the way that they hunt the ball and they simply just won't let any easy pass into the circle. So for me, it was an impressive performance.
Yeah, what I really liked about the Thunderbirds in this regard is they had a late out in Hannah Petty, one of their co-captains, and it kind of shook everything up, because obviously last week we had Shadeen van der Merwe start in goal defence, and Kate Shimmin only come on a little bit in the end. So this week Shim got the start, and I mean, I think I speak for all of us, she should be getting the start in every game. She's just that good, and she just builds as the game goes on. So I was just really impressed with the Thunderbirds being able to fight through that first quarter deficit, come out in that second quarter, dominate, and then being able to hold on to that lead. And I think what they did is they made the Giants make uncharacteristic errors. And I think one of the things that we say a lot about the Giants is that they're very physical and not always in the best way, because a lot of those players are just as good without the physicality as they are when they do it. And I think what the Thunderbirds did so well is that they played their own game through all that physicality. You could see that some of them were getting a little bit frustrated. I think Pot Geeter got frustrated a few times at Sam Pullman wrestling for the ball after the shot. But overall, the Thunderbirds played through it really, really well. And I think those young players on court really stood up too. I mean, Taylor Davies took the court as well. Taylor Williams took the court as well. And obviously Maisie Nankervell had almost full time on court too. So yeah, those young players standing up in the Thunderbirds lineup, and for such a kind of new look lineup, being able to defeat the experience of the Giants, just, oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I agree. And I think going back to Kate Shimmin, as you said, Sophie, I think we saw back in 2018 when Thunderbirds were really having a tough time, Shimmin was kind of that shining light for that side. She was really impressive in defence. And in 2019, Layla Guscuth came along and fair enough gets the start in goal defence, and also Shimera Sterling coming into the side. So Shimmin was kind of relegated to the bench for much of the season. But yeah, and now with Layla Guscuth obviously working her way back up to the Thunderbirds, Shimmin's got that opportunity to get a lot of court time, and she's making the most of it. I think she's an impressive one, and I think as much court time as she can get would be is awesome, because she's just doing a great job. Back on the Giants now, a winless start to the season after two rounds, and there's a lot of questions to be asked. Probably the main one is, what do they do with Caitlin Bassett? Because this is the captain of the Diamonds, and she's an absolute star, but she's been relegated to the bench, especially during the Super Shot period. It's a tough question to ask, but what do the Giants do with Caitlin Bassett?
Well, see, for me, I think you look at the Fever, for example, and you can see that Janelle Fowler is actually willing to go for that two-point shot. She's added something to her game, that element of surprise. And while we all know that Caitlin Bassett is a superstar in her own right, especially given her credentials on the international stage, and, you know, by no means is she, am I saying she's heading towards the end of her career, but I think she needs something to shake up her play, because it's a very predictable pattern in attack for the Giants, in the fact that we all know that the ball is going to go straight to Jo Harton in those final 5 minutes when looking for the super shot, or that Kira Austin is going to try and come on and take some of that pressure off, which means Bassett then goes to the bench. What they do with that, I don't know, but I think from her, she needs to change up her gameplay. She needs to create something different for defenders to look at, because clearly her holds are incredibly strong, but if that's not working, what else has she got to offer? And teams are slowly starting to figure that out.
See, my issue in this game actually wasn't Caitlin Bassett, which says a lot about me in this regard, because usually I'm not a huge fan of her. I just don't think she's versatile enough. I know I'm going to offend a lot of people here. I was kind of disappointed in Kira Austin. I think she was the one that that kind of held back the Giants in this one, because she was going for the long bombs and Harton was not ready for the rebounds. And it was that kind of thing where you almost needed someone like Caitlin Bassett there with her height and her hands, she has pretty clean hands when it comes to it, to rebound that ball and get those one pointers in. Austin played for a chunk of the second half, a chunk of the second quarter as well, I think, as well. And Bassett was off for all of that third quarter. I just felt like they were a little bit flat without Bassett in there being able to rebound. Again, she's not my favorite player, but I think she adds a huge element of experience up in that attack. And when we don't have Jo Harton running up the court, obviously she's typically a goal shooter, but in goal attack, she has completely opened up her game. I just feel like we lost that intensity down the center of the court. And I felt like having Bassett in shooter and Harton in goal attack was probably the way to go there.
Yeah, so there's a lot to work on for the Giants. Obviously, it was hard. The rule was brought in very late, so they weren't able to adapt it as quickly as they would have hoped. But hopefully they can get a win on the board very soon. Moving on to the second game of the round, and this was an absolute demolition job by the Melbourne Vixens. 78 to 50 win over the Firebirds. The Firebirds are a good young team. They show some good signs, but absolutely outclassed by this Vixen side. Sophie, I might go to you first. While this is a great win, probably the best story to come out of this game was Taylor Honey stepping onto Suncorp Super Netball court for the first time. It's been a long journey for her, but it's great to see her finally get a chance.
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head there. That's exactly it. The Vixens for so long have not been a very versatile side. They haven't been, Simone McInnes is known for not switching out the side. If they're performing, they're performing and great. And I think we've kind of seen in the last season that she was more willing to bring Katie Underhaney on, and obviously more rotation on the bench last season with Kumwenda coming back into the side. And then being able to see that huge rotation in the midcourt, seeing Taylor Honey come in and have an impact, and nothing changes on the scoreboard. And that's, I think, the major thing. That's a really, really significant thing, where you see these players able to stand up and you see them taking control and really proving that they can be there. And I think Taylor Honey absolutely killed it in this performance. Her first game, she played the entire second half, I think it was, maybe a fraction of the second quarter as well. And for her to come on and play her role, it was really, really great.
Yeah, she's one that... she signed with the Vixens in September of 2018. So it's almost 2 years after she actually signed with the Vixens for her to get her first game. Just a remarkable story. And obviously her mum is the assistant coach of the Vixens. So it was great to have, obviously would have been great to have her on the sideline as well. Taylor, the Vixens were obviously great in this game, but the Firebirds, after a strong round one performance, they didn't get the win there either. But this is kind of a pretty big hit to take.
Yeah, it's a pretty disappointing result. I think the first quarter, the Vixens and the Firebirds kind of went toe-to-toe, but as I touched on earlier, the fact that the Vixens shooters, all three of them, can back themselves from two-point range, I think that's kind of where the separation really started to show. I think towards the end of the first quarter, Thwaites shot back-to-back two-pointers, which means that kind of opened up that margin. And from there, they just, generated more and more ascendancy, and they just showed so much more pressure and intensity, and everything that the Firebirds threw at them just wasn't enough, unfortunately. I think it was interesting, though, that the Firebirds tinkered with that defensive lineup. For me personally, I really enjoy the combination of Hinchcliffe and Jenna, because I think the two of them have a really good understanding on how to work the circle. I think you could tell that Jenna was still getting used to Rudy Ellis, who used to be a training partner with the Vixens. So that was interesting in itself. But I think you could tell that the defensive end was a little bit disjointed, and I think it was just breakdown in patches for the Firebirds. So it's something that there's a lot of excitement to come out of them, because they have so many young, talented players. And I think further experience and time together will help them generate those stronger connections. But it's really hard to cop a loss like that, because, you know, it's only round two, and you kind of go, well, you know, what more can we give? How else can we build?
Yeah, it is going to be a tough one, because obviously they did have a rough season in 2019, and obviously losing their star player in Gwedel Bueda is just a tough one. So they will look to get a couple of wins on the board, and they get a good opportunity in round three when they do face the Magpies. And we will move on to the Magpies now, because they played in the third game of the round, and a tight loss to the Lightning, 51-47 in the end. It looked like the Magpies could kind of run away with this victory after the first half, but it's the Premiership quarter for a reason, and the Lightning in the third quarter, 16-9. Just absolutely dominant, and were able to hold on and for a four-point victory.
Yeah, I was rooting for the Pies here. I was like, okay, come on, you can do this. They came out so strong, and I think you could already tell the confidence in having Shimona Nelson back into the side paid dividends for them, because they were just confident to release the ball into her. While they weren't not confident to release the ball into Wright, it was kind of just like having that familiarity back into that lineup, because there has been so many changes for the Magpies this season. I think that as the game went on, the Lightning clearly got onto their game plan. But the main thing that was a talking point for me was the fact that Steph Wood was a late out. she was meant to be in the starting seven for the Lightning, then all of a sudden pulled out. They had a massive shake-up, clearly Konnan into goal attack, Praskovia into goal shooter, and the Lightning took a while to settle, and then 90 seconds left in the second quarter and Steph Wood appeared ready to go, and it was kind of just like, all right, here we go. The Lightning just went full ball then and took the game by storm.
But my thing with that is she was never actually officially ruled out. She was named on the bench, I'm fairly certain. So instead of putting her on the court like they were originally planning to, they just switched her for Praskovia, who was on the bench. So she was never officially not playing. She was already in, like, she was already ready to play. There was no, I think it was just the commentary team that actually said she was fully ruled out of the game. So I didn't have an issue there with the Lightning doing that. I mean, anyone who, I mean, like legit any netballer who's ever come off the court with an injury, most of the time you'll say, no, I can go back on. And then you'll come on for 5 minutes and go, nah, get me off again. But like in that scenario, it's every game counts in these kind of bunched up seasons. I didn't have an issue with it. I thought it was actually remarkable that she was able to come out and have such an impact early. Obviously, they weren't able to win that second quarter, but the Lightning only won the one quarter for the game, which was the third, and they came away with the win. So I thought that the Lightning's ability to kind of work around that that new extra connection in Steph Wood coming back onto the court. I mean, you could see Laura Langman stepped up when Wood got on. So I thought it was really, really good by the Lightning to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think it was very weird because obviously if we see Steph Wood not taking the court to start for the Lightning, we just kind of all assume that she wasn't going to play any part at all. So it was good to see that whatever injury or niggle it was, it wasn't major and she was able to take the court and have an impact in that second half. I think, Taylor, you spoke about it a bit earlier. Shimona Nelson did a great job for the Magpies, and They looked a bit better going forward with her in the circle, and she shot 32 or 38 on the game. Nia Allen came in again after an impressive performance last week and shot 6 of 6, 2 or 2 from the super shot. A good little weapon to have. Obviously, Gabby Sinclair's got the start at goal attack, but good to kind of be able to have that little extra weapon on the bench in Nia Allen.
Yeah, like we've said time and time again, I think this season's really good in the terms that it's giving young players an opportunity to get out on court. I think Nia Allen was a training partner with the Thunderbirds last year or something along those lines. So for her to get her opportunity to debut this season and really come out with a great intensity and confidence, I think that's a really hard thing. Clearly, she came into the game late and, you know, the game was kind of drifting away, but she was the one that kind of clawed the Magpies back into the contest. A couple of consecutive super shots and all of a sudden, you know, the Magpies were almost there. So I think that's definitely something that the Magpies will look to and know that they have the star power. It's just kind of finding that consistency and four-quarter performance. And if they keep revealing all of these young up-and-coming talents, then you can kind of see that they're building a team for the future, which is very different to the teams that they've had in the past.
Yeah, I think obviously this was always going to be a development year for the Magpies. And as you said, if they can kind of develop these young players and get a few games into them, we could be looking at a great team in a couple of years' time. But obviously a winless start to 2020, as we said, they also get a chance to win their first game up against the Firebirds in round 3. The final game of round 2 was an absolute thriller, and it was the Swifts getting the win over the Fever by 1 point. And you look at kind of this scorecard, and the Fever scored 20 points in 3 out of the 4 quarters and lost the game. That is just astonishing. But the Swifts, much like the Lightning, it was the third quarter, the premiership quarter, where they got it done. 27-11, and that was led by Sophie Garbin. What a performance.
She absolutely killed it. I think it's funny though, people are going on and on about it as though she joined the game in the third quarter. She came on in the second in goal attack and didn't really have a huge impact. So when she kind of went down to goal shooter, I think she was a little bit unassuming because they were like, oh, she didn't do much in the second. And she just absolutely like came out of the blocks, starred. She shot like a huge amount of goals in that quarter, 21 of 23 in that quarter alone.
And she shot 13 consecutive goals as well, which is ridiculous because she was literally just, it was just like piff the ball to her, bang, she'll get it in the hoop.
Yeah, and I think what was really remarkable about this, I mean, the commentary brought it up that this is the highest scoreline in a quarter for any team in Super Netball ever, including without the super shot, which I think is just as huge because we know how good the Swifts are. They won the premiership last year, but for them to be able to come out and do that in one quarter this year, come from behind by that much, they were down by 8 at halftime, were up by 8 at three-quarter time. Obviously, the Fever came out in the last quarter with something to prove. The Swifts only just got away with the win, but they just absolutely killed it. That being said, the Fever really impressed me too. I actually had Fever tipped for this weekend purely based on the fact that the young defensive talent they've got coming through the ranks is insane. And I was a little bit worried about how Lauren Moore would compete with Janine Fowler. And that didn't actually seem to worry her at all. So I thought this was such a good game. I was really, really impressed by the talent that kind of stood up in this game across both teams.
I think as much as we love to talk about the Swifts, they're obviously such a great side and obviously the reigning champions. I think, as you said, Sophie, the Fever had a good game. And I think one that I want to touch on, and I know, Taylor, you might not agree with me, but Alice Teague-Neild, I think, had a great game in goal attack. I think 11 of 16 is probably the volume they're looking for her to shoot, with Fowler shooting 50-plus goals basically every week. They only need her to shoot that kind of 10 to 15 range. But I think it's what she did outside of shooting that really impressed me. I think 20 assists, 27 feeds into the circle was really just that role that the Fever need her to play. And if she can do that continuously every week, that goes a long way to the Fever having success this season, because we know they've got the talent across the court. They've got, obviously, Courtney Bruce missed this one, but when they've got Courtney Bruce and Stacey Francis in defence, Anstis, Verity Charles in the midcourt, and Fowler there, I think it's just that link in that goal attack position that they missed in 2019. And I think that performance from Alice Teague-Neild is one that was really impressive. We are going to move on now. We are very excited on the Centre Pass podcast to be joined by the captain of the New South Wales Swifts, Maddie Proud. Maddie, thank you for joining us here on the Centre Pass podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, first of all, we will get into the netball very soon, but we just want to ask you quickly, how are you going in the Queensland Hub? How's it been so far this season?
Well, I'm currently sitting on my balcony at Mooloolaba Beach, overlooking the nice beach and the blue, beautiful sunshine. So I think things could definitely be worse. I feel a bit guilty at times when I get to wake up to this view. So, yeah, obviously interesting times, but really grateful that we've ended up to be able to land where we are. And at the end of the day, we just wanted to make sure we could get a season underway, and that meant moving over here to the Sunshine State. But as long as the sun stays out, then we won't be too mad about that.
Oh, jealous. Well, moving off the balcony and onto the netball court, there was a huge game on the weekend between the Swifts and Fever. We just talked about it as a team, but what did you think of the game?
Well, I think it's kind of as cliche as it sounds. It was the tale of two halves, really. I think we probably played the worst netball we've ever played in our lives in that first half, and then probably particularly in that third quarter, some of the best we've played. So, yeah, obviously just trying to find some real consistency. Obviously with the way the season's gone, I think we're going to take a little while to find our feet. But, yeah, probably just wasn't good enough what we put out in that first half. And, you know, all credit to the Fever. I thought they were awesome all day. But, yeah, I think great to see that we could finally get things clicking in that third quarter. But yeah, really just need to make sure we can work on our starts and putting out a real consistent 60 minute performance.
And you just touched on that third quarter. How was it watching Sophie Garbin just absolutely dominate under the post?
I know, it was bizarre. It was kind of crazy in the moment. I think obviously I knew that as soon as we were on the court in that third quarter, things just started to click, and you know, those first few balls that went into Soph, and she just goes up for the ball so early and had some amazing takes under the ring. But I always think that as the game was going, I kind of always didn't realise how good it was until the whistle blew to end that quarter, and I kind of looked up at the scoreboard and realised, you know, how many goals we'd scored and how it all ended up. So I probably didn't actually appreciate it as much as when I was in the moment, because we were just so focused on, you know, ticking over the scoreboard and making sure we could bring back that lead. So yeah, now reflecting, it was pretty unbelievable.
Is Sophie one to kind of let you know how good she played in that third quarter, or is she kind of keeping it under wraps?
Oh, she'll hate me to say this, but when we rocked up the next morning, I said, oh, did you fit through the door? Is your head too big? So, credit to Sophie, she's very, very humble, and that's kind of how she always is. But, of course, I think when you get told by Cass Cox that you should be PM, and you get told, you know, I don't know, every name under the sun, I think they used every sort of adjective to describe her and called her all the nice things that were possible. I think it was hard not to let that get to you, but no, so good like that. She probably doesn't even realise how good she is, and, you know, what sort of, I guess, historic moments kind of came from that game. So, you know, but she's just all business, and I'm sure leading into tomorrow night's game, it'll all be the same again.
And we'll move on to another one of your teammates now, and your midcourt buddy in Paige Hadley. She plays her 100th game on the weekend for the Swifts, and I think I saw it last night. I think she's the fifth player to play 100 matches, so a massive achievement, and she's up there with some of the greats of the New South Wales Swifts. And how's it been playing with her?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's testament to Paige, it's testament to her loyalty, the fact that it's 100 games for one club, which is pretty special and pretty rare, actually, in these days. And I think to be doing it all at the ripe old age of 27 to get to 100 games is huge. And, you know, she's one of the most determined, committed people I've ever met, and to be able to play with her on court, you can just see her passion for the red dress. She's one of those players that's stuck by the Swifts from, you know, those couple of grand final losses to then turn it around and win the grand final last year. And she's such a leader at this club and someone that we all look up to and aspire to be like and are inspired by. So yeah, I feel very privileged to have played a few of those 100 games with her, and hopefully there's a lot more to come as well.
And obviously you took a bit of a fall last season and didn't get to play in the grand final. What's it kind of been like coming back from that knee injury? Was there any fear coming into round one? Obviously such a long preseason to get the knee in order, but also any kind of niggling worry about doing it again?
Yeah, it's definitely been interesting from a rehab perspective. I sort of had it all going smooth sailing, and you kind of to get back to a normal season, and then I actually had a bit of a hiccup earlier this year and tore my meniscus again, so had to go back under the knife and kind of thought I was going to be missing potentially another half of the season. And then when everything, the virus, it actually, as bad as it sounds, kind of worked in my favour with the season being pushed back, because it meant that I could kind of get a full season under my belt. So it definitely hasn't been kind of the dream lead up in terms of the ins and outs and the ups and downs. But yeah, come round one, I was 100% fit and ready to go. And it's kind of was bizarre in my mind how little I thought about my knee. It was actually on the same court that I'd done it on as well, which my first game was on, which was pretty crazy. But I think my nerves are more just around the actual performance side of things. I think I was just worried I wouldn't be able to catch the ball and wouldn't be able to throw the ball, which I almost couldn't do in the first 5 minutes of the game. But Bill kicked as the game went on, and you know, particularly Sunday's game, I felt like I really sort of found my feet again, and now I'm sort of, you know, back into the rhythm of things and feel like I'm back to normal. So yeah, nerves, not so much about the knee's totally fine, it's just probably everything else that goes with it.
And what was it like kind of sitting on the sidelines last year and clearly not being able to play your role on court in that premiership winning side?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously bittersweet. I think no one's going to lie and say they don't want to be on the court. And that's all teams winning the grand final, you want to be able to be out there with them. But I sort of felt like, you know, the fact that I'd played that first seven rounds, I'd kind of played a role in getting us to where we were. And I was so grateful that the team let me stay involved. On every away trip, I was kind of took on a bit of a coaching role, which we use very lightly because I'm by no means a coach. But you know, I still felt like I did have a role to play, and even the team meant that I still had a lot to give. And yeah, when that final whistle went in that grand final, I was just so excited and just so happy that everything that the girls and the team had worked for and built towards in those kind of 3 years leading up to that game had kind of came true. And obviously there's still going to be that bit of disappointment that I wasn't out there with them, but yeah, there's still no better feeling than winning a grand final.
Yeah, and I think it's been a very different last couple of years for the Swifts. Obviously, in 2018, it was a bit of a down year. And then you kind of were the underdogs going into 2019. And how has that been going from the ones chasing the pack to being the ones that are being hunted by the rest of the competition?
Yeah, it's definitely uncharted territory for us. And I think, obviously, it's taking us a little while to kind of find our feet this season. But I think it's also the case for a lot of other teams. We're trying sort of not to focus on that too much. And just as cliche as it sounds again, just take it one game at a time. And I think with the, you know, circumstances that we're in and the structure of the season now, it's literally going to be any one season. And being able to back up games 2 days later, 3 days later, it really does change things now in terms of the you know, who are the favourites, who are not the favourites. Teams with the greatest depth are going to be the teams that are going to be the ones that will have the most success. And I think we're just so lucky at the Swifts that we've got such a great pool of talent that we can choose from. I mean, you know, bench in that third quarter is a prime example of the fact that you've got a calibre of her player that's sitting there for other games, and then the fact that she finally gets the nod in these sort of situations and can blow a game out of the water. So yeah, the fact that we have such great depth on and off the court is going to be really helpful for us moving forwards.
And obviously there's been a few rule changes that have come in this season. Obviously the major one is the super shot, but the one I'm most interested in from your point of view is the rolling subs. How do you think that A, kind of impacts the game, and B, kind of helps different players kind of navigate the court?
Yeah, I think the best thing about the rolling subs, and probably even just the structure of this season as well, is how we're seeing so much young talent come through. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about your Georgie Horgeses and your Tibbadorns and all these young girls that are finally getting a chance, who have come through the pathways from their states. And even for our team as well, the fact that we can keep rolling through different players, and we've obviously got a lot of depth within our court, so it means that you're not having to kind of focus so much on a starting seven. It's really a rotating 12 that you kind of now play with. So I enjoy it. I think for us as well, particularly with player management and player load, with the back-to-back games, it gives you that freedom to kind of bring players on and off and really manage how much court time everyone is getting. But more than anything, I think it just creates such great opportunities for these young girls to really get a taste of what SSN is all about, and they might not have got that opportunity had it not been for these rolling subs or even this sort of condensed season either.
And what's it like having Bryony Akle as coach? She seems like such a hard-nosed but fun-loving coach from the outside looking in.
Yeah, Bryony's amazing, and we're so lucky to have her. I think for us, we have so many girls in our team that are from interstate or from overseas, and we've really turned the Swifts into our family. And it goes as far as Bryony bringing her four boys over from Sydney to move into this sort of hub with us here in Queensland, because she's family first, and that's kind of the mantra that we have in this team, is that, you know, you're people first and then you're netballers. And that's something that Bryony and Anita, our assistant coach, really breed through to us. And I think that's what makes us perform the way that we do, in that we're all so comfortable with one another. We are like each other's sisters. Bryony and Anita are like our mums away from home, and they have that real nurturing side to them that really makes us want to play for them. And we know that, you know, when she does have to have those tough conversations or does have to have that stern word, it's coming from a place of love, because that's, you know, how she knows that she can get the best out of our players. So yeah, so lucky to have Bryony.
And just a couple of final ones. Obviously, round two is kind of just finished, and you're already backing up, getting ready for round three. And as you said, you play tomorrow night against the Adelaide Thunderbirds. How has that recovery been? Has it been any different to a normal week? How are you guys backing up?
Yeah, well, there's definitely no time to dwell on the last game, that's for sure. So we obviously played Sunday, and then yesterday we have what we call a recovery day, where we do some PA, we analyse the game that's just been, and we obviously get our bodies right, head to the beach and do all of that. And then it's pretty funny, because we snap our fingers, and then today it was straight into PA onto the Thunderbirds. So there's definitely no time to dwell on the past game. We then go into what's usually a captain's run the day before a game, but now becomes a bit more of a training session, where you kind of put into practice things that you're going to want to put out in the court against your next opposition. So, I mean, it's actually quite nice in a way, because usually it's hard that you have to wait a whole week to put your next game out there, but the fact that we only have to have a couple of sleeps and it's there again is nice. So just a real big focus for us is recovery and making sure that everyone's in tip-top shape heading into the next game, because there's obviously usually a few sore bodies, particularly mine, as I always hit the deck, that needs to make sure I can recover properly for the next game.
And I think one last question. Now, we know you have a book. This is your chance to plug it for the Centre Pass podcast audience.
Oh, thank you. The moment I've been waiting for. So, yes, Grace on the Court in all good bookstores, is what I say. So, no, it's, yeah, for those who don't know, which I would be very, very shocked if anyone listening to a netball podcast doesn't know about Grace on the Court, but about, yeah, young girl Grace Parker starting high school, follows her first year in her high school netball team, kind of has it all with the, you know, relationships with her teammates, obviously the netball season, a bit of boy drama, some friendship dramas, sort of anything you can expect to happen in a 13-year-old girl's life goes on in Grace on the Court. So I've actually written a sequel to it as well, which I'm sort of waiting to get out. So those that have read the first one, you don't have to wait too long, I hope. And if you haven't read the first one, at least there'll be a second one to come soon as well. So you can get it off my website, you can get it in a bookstore, get it on Booktopia or whatever you like. But, yeah, maybe some good reading, particularly for those who are unfortunately stuck at home. So might get them inspired to play a bit more netball.
We'll have a good a classic plug to finish it off. Maddie, thank you very much for joining us here on the Centre Pass podcast. We're very grateful for you joining us. We're happy to see you back out on the court and playing some great netball. Best of luck for the rest of 2020.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Once again, a massive thank you to Maddie Proud for joining us on the Centre Pass podcast. We will move on now and to our team of the week for round two of the Suncorp Super Netball season. This was a pretty hard one to pick, but Sophie, you're going to kick us off in defence.
Okay, so I've got defence this week and we've got a few of my faves in there. So we've got Pumza Mwaini in at goalkeeper. She had a really good game and had a really stellar, I think it was second or third quarter, where she kind of stepped up and really dominated in that goalkeeper position. So she obviously got the start there. And then obviously I think it would be hard to go past Kate Shimmin in goal defence this round. She was just so consistent and so driven, and I mean, everyone at the Centre Pass podcast loves Shim, and she really deserves a lot more of the plaudits than she actually gets at the moment, and she well and truly deserves the goal defence position. So I think Taylor's got the midcourt, so take it away, Taylor.
I was going to say, I'm in charge of the midcourt, so I was happy. Like, Sophie got a couple of her faves. I got my fave, Gabby Simpson, in at wing defence. While she didn't have the same impact that she did last round, I think it's fair to say that she was probably like that key player for the Firebirds throughout the game against the Vixens. No surprise in centre, Laura Langman. She just elevated her game once again. I don't know how she seems to do it week in, week out. She is just an absolute machine. And then same with wing attack, Lizzie Watson, another key player for the Vixens. She is just so strong in attack. She hits that circle edge with such pace and precision, and you just know that every time she gets ball in hand that something exciting is going to happen. So a pretty stacked midcourt, if I do say so myself. Jared, I know you've got the attack, so take it away.
Yeah, so in goal attack, I was really rooting for ATN. I really wanted her to get into the team of the week. She probably wasn't the best performed goal attack in the competition, but I think her role was really good. But we have gone with Helen Housby, an absolute star for the Swifts, and I don't think we spoke about her all too much when we went through that game, but 19 of 25 shooting, provided a great option and had another great game. And in goal shooter, this is one we did speak about a lot, another Swift in Sophie Garbin, and I think basically just because of her third quarter heroics, 21 goals in a quarter is just absolutely incredible. And no matter what anyone else did, it was pretty hard to go past Sophie, because she did an absolutely wonderful job and really was the game changer for the Swifts. On the bench, we've gone with a few pretty big names, big international names. First up is Carla Pretorius. Now, when Carla Pretorius makes our team of the week, she's normally on the court in the starting seven, but on the bench this week, a great performance, and that connection with Pumza Mwaini is just absolutely phenomenal. Kate Maloney is our midcourt sub. It was probably her and Langman were fighting for that centre bib, and Langman just got the nod on the court, so Maloney on the bench. And Our shooting sub is Lanise Potgieter. She has absolutely started the season on fire for the Thunderbirds. 43 of 45 in their win over the Giants. Continued her strong start to 2020, and I think she's one of the top goal shooters in the competition this year, and she'll keep showing that throughout the season. That is all for Suncorp Super Netball this week. We are going to move on and we are going to recap just quickly the round 9 of the ANZ Premiership season. And this one, it was a big round. There are a few close matches, a few blowouts, but I think probably the biggest result of the round, the Pulse get another loss, 2 in as many weeks, a 7-goal loss to the Tactics. This is a massive result. Obviously, the Tactics have a lot to play for, but a really surprising result, Taylor.
Yeah, I didn't find it that surprising when you look at their starting seven, unfortunately. It was kind of as if they were looking to rest a couple of key players, which makes sense. They've got top spot all but sewn up. Claire Kirsten played out in wing attack as opposed to her usual centre position. Maddie Gordon didn't take the court after somewhat of an ankle niggle, I think, early in the round. So clearly they're taking the precautionary measures with her to make sure she's okay for finals. Amelia Ann Ekenazio also didn't play, and I think without having those two in the attacking third, the Pulse really struggled to generate any type of movement. It was quite stagnant, and their footwork was just nothing like the Pulse. You know, they kind of, and the turnovers as well was quite high considering how clean the Pulse normally are. But I think full credit to the Tactics. They exploited those weaknesses, and they exploited the Pulse's bench, which we've touted time and time again as a really strong and we have touted that bench quite highly in the past because they have so many strong players. But I kind of think that this game proved that, as harsh as this might sound, there's a reason why they're still on the bench, that they're not getting that starting position, because they're just lacking that extra layer of class or movement. So overall, it was a really strong performance by the Tactics, but at the same time, the Pulse weren't on their A game. So it's not really, for me, an indication of a potential grand final similarities, if that makes sense, like atmosphere.
Yeah, I think the major result to come out of this round was the Northern Mystics actually losing both their games on the weekend. One of them was against the Tactics, and that was really the one that they needed to win after losing to the Steel on the Friday night, and that was huge in itself. And essentially, the Tactics winning the game against the Pulse has actually given the Tactics a grand final berth. It's their first ever in ANZ Premiership history, so it's really huge. And the Pulse obviously weren't quite themselves. Like Taylor said, they were missing a few players. Ekenazio was actually out with, I think it was sickness or illness, something like that, that they said. So hopefully she'll be back again next week. Taylor and I had actually joked yesterday while watching it that maybe they had already chosen their grand finalist in the Tactics, and that's why they kind of put a lot of their bench players on. But overall, the Tactics were just too good, and I think this round was a really, really interesting one. It kind of switched things up. Up until now, it's been a real tie between who will make the grand final between the Mystics and Tactics, and Tactics have it all but sewn up now. So I think it was a really interesting round of action, and probably a lot more interesting than a lot of people kind of thought of it in the first place.
Yeah, it was a weird one, and I think just kind of looking at the ladder, I'm no mathematician, but I think the finals are all set. I think, as you said, it probably is going to take an absolute miracle for the Mystics to overtake the Tactics for a second spot, and I think the Steel, they only have one game in round 10, so it's going to be tough to see them jump over the Northern Stars for fourth spot. So it looks like those finals matchups are all set, and I think Pulse Tactics, as you said, Tactics are a great result for them after this season to get to that grand final. And I think they'll go in with nothing to lose. Obviously, the Pulse will be the favourites, but the Tactics, I think, will just go in and have a red-hot crack, and I think we'll take it right up to them. So a big round 10 of action, the final round of the regular season in the ANZ Premiership coming up this week. So end to a really great season, and we've been happy to cover the ANZ Premiership in 2020. But that is all we have time for this week on the Centre Pass podcast. Do go follow us at Centre Pass Pod on Twitter And do go to netball.draftcentral.com for all your world netball news and reviews. And we will speak to you next week.